For that. We're looking today at a simple parable, a common parable, a story that Jesus told in Matthew 7. In fact, the story of the wise builder and the foolish builder is one of the first ones we learn as kids. We know that song when we put our hands together, and we could sing it if we wanted to hear it. We're going to look here beginning in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24, when it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Simple little story. It's built on contrasts. You see the sand versus the rock. Listening versus doing, crumbling versus standing, foolishness versus wisdom. But even in the contrast, you see similarities between these two men. To both of them, the winds and the floods and the rains came. To both of them, the storms crashed against their houses. And both of them built a foundation which either would uphold them and keep them sturdy, or which crumbled beneath their feet. It's a simple little story that Jesus tells, but it's packed with powerful truths. I want to get a couple going here on the board. A couple of things we see from this parable. Like, storms come. They just do. They always do. The storms vary in their size, and they vary in their intensity. But storms are an inevitable part of life. And so whether if it is storms at work, trouble at work, or trouble at home, or trouble in the church house, whether if it's a financial burden, a disease that's come upon us, a loved one who is sick or a loved one who has passed away, dealing with aged parents, teenagers who are rebellious, or storms like we had on Friday, hail and tornadoes and floods and hurricanes, storms are a part of life. You know what's interesting though is what Jesus teaches here is that if you heed His words, that doesn't guarantee you a life free from storms. What it guarantees you is the ability to stand when the storm comes. And what He shows us here is that faith does not come from the storms of life. The hard times we have is not going to give you faith. It proves your faith. It shows what kind of faith of Lord you have at that moment. Storms are part of life. But we also see that we build our foundation. Each man built his own foundation. You might ask the question, why did one build on the rock and one built on the sand? Well, it was his choice. Each man heard the word of God. Each man heard the teachings of Christ. One chose to listen and disregard it. The other one said, that's really true. I believe in that. And he acted upon it. It's the same way today. Why are some who have strong faith and why are there some who just don't have a very strong faith? Each one builds our own foundation. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20 teaches that the righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. In other words, you get to choose what path you're going to take in life. You choose what to do with God's words. You choose what your faith will be. And by that faith, I will either stand when the storm comes or I will crumble. But that is by my choice because I build my own foundation. And we also see that the foundations were built in good times. You notice that? It began by saying there were men who built their foundations, and then it says, then the storms came upon them. That's kind of a key point there. You don't start building when the rain starts. You don't start laying the foundation when the winds start blowing against your rock or against your building ground. You don't starting to get yourself a safety shelter when the tornado is out on the horizon. And yet that's so often what many people do. They wait until things get really hard in their life to start taking God seriously. They wait until things get really tough in order to start praying, to start reading their Bible, to start coming back to church. Listen, the time to start building your faith is not when the storms of life come. That is when whatever faith you have will be put to the test. That faith. The time to start building is when the sunshine is out. It's a time when I have health in my body and health in my mind, while my marriage is still intact and both people are home, while my kids are still under my roof, while I have the ability and the time to get into the Word of God. That's when I need to build my faith, not when it gets tough, not when my mate is out the door. That's not a time to get help. It's a time to get help when we're home. I don't wait until my kids are off to college and say, I don't believe in God anymore, to start saying, maybe we need to start studying the Bible with our kids. That starts at home. Brethren, we build our foundation in the good times, in the sunshine, so it'll be ready for the storm. And then, of course, the point of Jesus' parable is this, that there is a foundation, there is a rock, that if you build your life upon it, it'll stand. And the rock he teaches in this parable is his words. He says, the one who listened and obeyed the words of Christ, his house was not shaken. His house did not crumble. No, it stood. So the ones who listen to Jesus, the ones who read the word and know the word and trust the word and they show that trust by doing what Jesus says, those are the lives, those are the marriages, those are the homes, those are the souls who will stand when the storms come. You know why I chose this today? Not because I just like the parable. I do love this parable, and I love singing it every night with Benjamin. I love it. But there's a reason I wanted to pull this to this church family today. Just as a reminder of what we just went through last week. This parable sort of suggests an analogy, if you will, that every time we read the Bible or hear the Bible being taught, it's almost as if we're given a brick. Doesn't it seem that way to you? Maybe if it's my own individual studying at home, my own time of private study, or if it's a sermon or a Bible class or a small group study in a home, once that time of study has ended, it's almost as if I have been handed a brick. And as I lay that brick down on the foundation, and as I read each day and I listen to those sermons week after week and I go to those Bible classes week after week and I lay those bricks one after another, after enough time, what's going to be found there is a pretty strong structure. Pretty sturdy house. So that when those hard times come, I have something that's going to endure when the storms start blowing. Can I ask you a question? Maybe a tough question today. What are we doing with all of our bricks? All those sermons you've heard, some of you have heard over hundreds, thousands of sermons. You're going to hear 100 this year. Get ready. What do we do with all those sermons? What do we do with all those Bible classes? Have you thought about that? 22 a quarter? That means we're going to have 88 Bible classes this year. What do I do with all those Bible classes? What do I do with all those home studies? I go to the study and I'm invited into their home and we read the book of Luke and that was great. Then what? I'm reading my Bible every day like the preachers say we're supposed to and the shepherds say you ought to do. What do we do with that? We just got done with a week-long gospel meeting about living a spiritual life. Every night we were treated to that teaching. Now what do I do with that, right? Well, one builder had the bricks, but all he did was he laid it aside and he chose a different path. Well, I'm going to build my life on the sand. Maybe it's wealth, maybe it's jobs, maybe it's my own strength or my own intellect. I'm going to choose my own path. But the one who stood and the one who endured was the one who took those teachings of Jesus and he made it his. He believed it, he lived it, and he built it upon that rock. Isn't it, brethren, why do we have sermons? It's not because Ricky and I would be unemployed. We would be. But that's not the reason why. Why do we have Bible classes? It's not because we have a void of time we just want to fill. We just have to fill in time. Why do we have gospel meetings? Because we're tired of Ricky and Jordan. That may be part of it, but that's not the whole. Isn't this it? I'm trying to give you bricks. I'm trying to help you build a firm foundation because the storms are going to come. I'm trying to help you build your faith and strengthen your faith so you'll be able to stand and make it home. Can I give you some ideas? What does it mean to build your bricks on the foundation? What does it mean to firmly plant or build your faith on the rock? I got a couple ideas for you. How can we lay that firm foundation? Well, number one, you come ready to learn. You come ready to learn. Sermons, Bible classes, gospel meetings, home studies, even my own time of personal study, I come ready to learn. We teach that to our kids. If you're going to go to class, take your notebook, take your pencil, take something to write down because you need to learn. That's us here. If I'm coming to a sermon, I'm coming ready to learn. If I'm coming to a Bible class, I'm coming ready to learn. I'm taking the notepad. I'm asking questions if the teacher allows questions. It's exactly what Ezra said. It says Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Think about that. I'm here and I'm ready and engaged and whatever I'm going to be taught this day or learn from my own reading, I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. Here's something practical for you. Maybe you are a sleepy Sunday morning Christian. That's just you. Mornings are not your thing. God didn't create you that way. Then maybe you need to get up a little earlier and get a couple cups of coffee in before you come. Get a full breakfast. Or here's a novel idea. Maybe we need to go to bed earlier on Saturday night. Turn the TV off. Why? Because I'm here to learn. I have some preachers, I have some teachers, I have some wise people who are going to try and help me get into the Word of God, and I want to listen and make the most of this. And so I'm coming ready to learn. Here's another one. Think, pray, and live the Word. What it means, once I'm done studying, once the sermon is over, once the class is finished, once my reading is done and the Bible is closed, I don't just turn it off. Keep thinking about it. What did he mean by that? That was a neat passage. I never thought about that before. My class today has a lot to think about. What does the Bible teach about homosexuality? And how do I need to talk to my friends about that? That would be something good to talk about and to think about. The psalmist said it this way. In Psalm 1 and verse 2 and 3, he says, his delight, this wise man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Do you see that? He thinks about it. It's not just that he reads it. It's one thing to read the words on the page. It's another thing to think on that. Meditate means to chew, to mull. I'm really considering what it is I'm reading. Keep thinking about it and then talk about it. Talk about it to God. God, today I learned this or read this. And it helped me see something about you I hadn't seen before. Or maybe I had forgotten. Or God, I read this about Christ today and I'm amazed at his love and impressed by his passion and his will, your will, his purpose on earth. Lord, help me to live more like you. Or Lord, help me to not do what this word says here, to avoid this bad path, this dangerous path. Pray about what you're reading and then guess what? Live it. Is there an example I'm reading of something I should not be doing? Have I read about a bad person and they did something and got in trouble? Maybe I shouldn't do that in my life. Or maybe I'm reading something and I'm realizing the Bible is telling me I need to be doing something I've not been doing. Well, I need to put that into practice. Is there something from my reading I've learned how to praise God better, how to follow Him better, how to walk better? Put that into practice. That ought to be a practice of ours. Every time the Bible is opened, once it's closed, I'm thinking, what can I do today to walk that off the page? Will you make that yours? I just read it, but I don't want it to stay there. I'm going to walk this off the page. I'm going to live this in my life today. That's the man who lays his foundation. He doesn't just hear Jesus' words. He hears it and he lives it. Here's another one. Share what you've learned. You share it. Share it with a friend. Share it with a coworker. Can I give you an idea today? If you have someone with you, your mate, your children, a friend, lunchtime conversation doesn't have to go a hard left and talk about something very different. Why not talk about what happened here today? What did you learn in Bible class? I learned about Esther. Great. What is so special today? Now let's talk about that. What about Esther did you learn? Her faith? Great. What was her faith? How do you see a parallel between us today? She had to stand alone today. Are there times where we're going to have to stand alone for Christ? Or maybe talk about the sermon. Ricky gave us a lot of great things to talk about. Silence. Have you ever wondered if silence is permissive? We've seen that a lot. Our children do it all the time. Wow, I wonder what that relates to us in our living with God and understanding the Bible. Don't just leave it. Share what you've learned. Talk about it. And then, of course, Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 says that we as parents are given the high responsibility to teach diligently our children the Word of God. To talk of it when we sit in the house, when we walk by the way, when we lie down, and when we rise. That is, every day I'm making the Bible a part of my life, of our life. Then here's our last one, and that's to make the most of the opportunities when they come. If it's the lunch hour, if it's the early morning before the day begins, if it's the last hour before I close my eyes at night, I'm spending some time with God. I'm opening up His Word, maybe just a verse, maybe just a couple of verses, but I'm spending that time with God. Maybe I've got a long drive ahead of me. I'm going to use that time to listen to a sermon and learn some more about God. Maybe I'm going to be on a flight. I'm going on a business trip. And I'm going to use that time to sharpen my faith and learn something new about God. Maybe I've got an evening free this week. And I know there's some brethren here meeting in homes and they're going to study. You know, I want to use that time and I want to learn more about God. And the shepherds are offering all these opportunities of gospel meetings and men coming in to teach us the Word of God. And when I can and when my schedule allows it, I'm going to be here. I'm going to make a point to be fed the Word of God. Why? Isn't that the question? Why? Why doesn't this matter? Because the storms are coming. The storms are brewing. And for many of us, we're standing in the sunshine and we're praising God for the blessings of today and the blessings of our life, but the storms will come. And the faith that stands is the faith that is planted on the rock. You got to build your faith. Paul, I think, concludes it best when he says it this way. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I believed, and I am convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Do you notice that? I suffer these things. As an apostle, as a teacher of the gospel, I recognize my life is not just going to be sunshine and roses. I suffer. I suffer for the sake of the gospel, but it's not got me afraid. I'm not ashamed. It's not causing me to run the other way. I'm not ashamed. You know why? Because I know whom I have believed. It's not just I know about Jesus or I've read it in the book. I know Jesus. I know his words. I know his promises. I know his commands. I know who it is that I believe. And since I know him and I built that faith, I'm convinced without a shadow of a doubt, 100%, that blessed assurance, I know that he's going to keep his word. That all the life I've given to him, my obedience and my trust and my following him, it's not for naught. And one day he's going to see it through. And it's all going to be worth it when he brings me home. I'm convinced he's able to guard that which I've entrusted to him until that day. You know what that means for us, brethren? To our shepherds who give so much time and thought about feeding us, the sheep, the word of God. We need to say to them, hand me another brick. Give me more. To our homes, husbands and wives, as we're looking at the week ahead with our kids, we need to say to one another, let's hand each other another brick. Let's lay some more foundations. Because brethren, every time we open up God's word and we read and we study with that open heart, what we're asking God is, God, please give me another brick. I want to lay that foundation. I want to stand on the rock. I want more than ever to be convinced of you. And if you're here today and your faith is not strong, if you're here today and you're not in a right relationship with God, or you'd like to get some bricks laid to help you start that journey with Christ, we'd love to help you. If we can help you in any way today, come on forward as we stand and as we sing.